During their time in New York, Max worked tirelessly, tending to details for their pending cross-Atlantic move, so they both appreciated having a knowledgeable friend to call on for help. With his gregarious yet gracious manner, John had helped them find a good neighborhood for their family, introduced them to his banker, and even explained some of the odd American colloquialisms they couldn't understand, as they all laughed together over well-aged bottles of his favorite Bordeaux. They had all climbed the Empire State Building together, and one night they saw a play on Broadway, and even danced to Benny Goodman's big band into the late evening hours. John also went to the World's Fair with them, where their crystal perfume bottles were featured in a potential business partner's display. Danielle and Max were both glad they'd met John, a man who embraced life with spirit and joie de vivre, and they both looked forward to their new life in America, far from the threat of Hitler's forces. But now, with news of the invasion, Max and Danielle's guarded optimism for their future had turned to distress over their family's safety.
"Bonjour," she said, glad to see John. "Any news yet?"
"None."
He pushed a hand through his unruly chestnut hair, droplets of water spray glistening on his tanned face.
"The captain has called a meeting of 1500 hours for all passengers traveling on Polish and German passports."
"But I still hold a French passport."
"You will need to attend, Danielle."
His hoarse voice held the wind of the sea.
"Of course, but..."
As another sharp pitch jerked through the ship, John caught her by the shoulders and kept her from falling. He moved intuitively with the ship's motion, a testament to his years at sea.
"Steady now, lass," John said,
a small smile playing on his lips. He stared past her out the porthole, his dark eyes riveted on the ocean's white-capped expanse. Blackened, heavily laden clouds crossed the sun, casting angled shadows across his face. Embarrassed, Danielle touched the wall for support. She recalled the strange sense of foreboding she'd had upon waking. She was blessed, or cursed, with an unusually keen prescience. Frowning, she asked,
"Can the ship withstand the storm?"
"Sure. She's a fine, seaworthy vessel, one of the finest in the world. This weather's no match for her."
He turned back to her, his jaw set. His usual jovial nature had turned solemn.
"Might even be rougher seas ahead, but we'll make England by morning."
Danielle nodded, but still, she knew. Anxiety coursed through her. Something seemed terribly wrong. Her intuition came in quiet flashes of pure knowledge. She couldn't force it, couldn't direct it, and knew better than to discuss it with anyone, especially her husband. She was only 26. Max was older, wiser, and told her that her insights were rubbish. Max wasn't really insulting her. He had studied science at the university in Germany, and he simply didn't believe anything that couldn't be scientifically proven. John touched her arm in a small, sympathetic movement.
"Anything I can do to help?"
"Not unless you perform miracles."
John's rough fingers were warm against her skin, and an ill-timed memory from a few days ago shot through her mind. Danielle loved to dance, and with Max's encouragement, she and John had shared a dance while Max spoke to the captain at length after dinner. Danielle remembered John's soft breath, his musky skin, his hair curling just above his collar. He'd been interested in all she had to say, from her little boy to her work at Parfum à Bretoncourt, her family's perfumery in the south of France. But when she'd rested her head against his chest, it was his skin, his natural scent, which was utterly unique and intriguingly virile, that mesmerized her. A third-generation perfumer, Danielle had an acute sense of smell. Her olfactory skills were paramount in the laboratory, but at times this acuity proved socially awkward.